Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, August 26th, 2026. In the news tonight, federal judge limits Idaho Health of the Woman abortion exception decision to only the doctor who filed the lawsuit. All other doctors in Idaho could still face jail for saving the health of the mother. Washington Secretary of State sues to block Trump from rigging elections by suppressing the mail-in vote. And two of the Spokane three convicted of conspiracy in the June 2025 ICE protest file appeals. We have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartas, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Federal Judge B. Lynn Windmill of Boise caved to a request from Idaho Attorney General Raul Labrador today to narrow his August 13th decision that found the state's repressive abortion law unconstitutional when the health of the mother is at risk. Judge Windmill limited his decision to only cases where Dr. Stacy Sabe is the administrating doctor, which means all other doctors in Idaho face up to 5 years in jail if they perform an abortion to save the health of the mother. Dr. Sabe was the plaintiff in the case. Windmill's decision also allows abortions by Sabe if they would prevent the mother from self-harm, including suicide. Windmill's decision to go along with a decision last year by the right-wing Trump Supreme Court, which prohibits federal judges from issuing universal injunctions blocking a law being used against more people than just the plaintiffs in the case in most situations. Attorneys for the Lawyering Project and Legal Voice are representing Dr. Stacy Sabe in the case. Sabe is a maternal fetal medicine physician who specializes in high-risk pregnancies, a specialty that has been in short supply since Idaho's criminal abortion law took effect. Lawyering Project co-director of litigation Tanya Pellegrini told the Idaho Capital Sun in an email, "While we are disappointed in the ruling, it is only one step in the litigation. We will continue to stand with providers and their patients to ensure it is safe to be pregnant in Idaho." As written, Idaho's criminal abortion ban only allows abortion to prevent the death of the mother, to treat ectopic or molar pregnancies, or in cases of rape and incest during the first trimester, but only if there's a police report. Violating doctors can be sentenced to 5 years in prison. There is also a civil abortion law in Idaho that allows relatives of the person receiving the abortion to sue for $20,000, a law that includes parents, grandparents, brothers, and others, even if they are not otherwise involved in the life of the person getting the abortion. The civil abortion law is not part of Dr. Sabe's lawsuit. Labrador also requested Judge Windmill fully remove the block on enforcement of the criminal Idaho abortion law, a request which Windmill denied. Windmill wrote, "An injunction limited to Dr. Sabe will suffice to address the alleged harm." Labrador announced last week he has appealed Judge Windmill's decision to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. He says he will argue it violates the 2022 U.S. Supreme Court decision in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health case, which allows states to regulate abortion. Washington Secretary of State Steve Hobbs and Attorney General Nick Brown announced a new lawsuit today to block the federal government from enforcing Trump's executive order to put his administration in charge of mail-in voter lists and to prohibit the Postal Service from delivering mail-in ballots to people who are not on the federal government's lists. Washington is among 25 states who have filed the new lawsuit in federal court in Massachusetts. The new lawsuit follows the right-wing Trump Supreme Court 6-3 decision saying the states could not prove harm because the executive order had not yet taken effect. The new lawsuit comes as a federal judge today lifted a broader injunction which prevented the executive order from taking effect before this year's November election. Attorney General Brown said the executive order would be especially devastating to voters in states such as Washington, which do all of their voting by mail or Dropbox. Secretary of State Hobbs said it would be next to impossible to print new ballots in time for the November 3rd election that fit the criteria Trump is attempting to require in his executive order. According to the Spokesman Review, Hobbs said, to put this in perspective, in 3 months we have our election. In 6 weeks we mail our ballots. In less than 3 weeks we mail to our overseas voters, most of whom are uniformed service members protecting our democracy. I feel that this lawsuit, the new one, will be in place and it will hold, but I want Washingtonians and voters to know that we do have plans in case they do not. Two of the three people the Trump Justice Department convicted of conspiracy in the June 11, 2025 ICE protests in Spokane have filed appeals in the last week. Jack Archer and Justice Forel filed their motions for appeal. That followed the lead of Bejun Mavawala II, who filed his appeal earlier in the summer. Federal officials arrested 9 people and charged them with conspiracy to impede or injure officers in July of last year. 6 took plea deals, and a federal jury convicted Archer, Forel, and Mavawala earlier this year, even though the jury could not hear that the ICE deportations the people were protesting were ruled illegal by a judge. Forel and Archer's attorneys filed motions asking the court to overturn the verdict and dismiss the case because of insufficient evidence. Archer's attorneys said the conviction violates the First Amendment and that he and co-defendants were committed to nonviolence and passively resisted government action they regarded as unjust. The motion says if Archer can be prosecuted for force, intimidation, or threats, then no demonstrator is safe from felony liability. The Moscow Human Rights Commission voted Tuesday to request the Moscow City Council petition the Latah County government for a fourth Moscow voting location to ease lines for student voters in the western part of the city. Currently, Moscow has voting locations at the Latah County Fairgrounds, the Hamilton Indoor Recreation Center, and the University of Idaho campus. The Moscow Human Rights Commission say they want a second university campus location. In their letter, the commission referenced the 2024 presidential election when an unexpectedly high number of new voters caused multi-hour wait times at the Student Recreation Center on the University of Idaho campus. Commission member Courtney Jensen said those in line that day were neither allowed to use the restroom nor sit down, saying, "So if you have any kind of physical disability, you can't vote." Jensen said the wait times have been an issue for years. She said, "I currently live on the east side of town, and I've never stood in line more than 5 to 10 minutes, and the entire time I was a University of Idaho student, I never stood in line less than 2 hours. Moscow City Council member Sage Miketich, who attended the Moscow Human Rights Commission meeting yesterday, said he spoke to the University of Idaho student government, who he said seemed excited about the prospect of another voting location on campus. Miketich said, "My personal view of voting is the more polls, the better." Recent polls are showing mixed results when weighing independent U.S. Senate candidate Todd Achilles against incumbent Republican Jim Risch in the upcoming 2026 midterm elections. Achilles is a former Democratic legislator from Boise. The Achilles campaign released a poll earlier this month indicating Achilles is tailing Risch by only 4 points. The Achilles campaign is benefiting from Democrat David Roth's departure from the campaign trail earlier this month. If Achilles' campaign poll numbers are an accurate reflection of reality, a 4-point deficit with more than 2 months before the election means Achilles has a fighting chance to win. Days after the Achilles campaign released its poll results, the Risch campaign released its own poll indicating Risch has a 34-point lead over Achilles. Boise State University political science professor Jeffrey Lyons said, though the difference in poll numbers is bigger than normal, both of the polls could be well done and reasonably executed, but still come away with different results. Without complete information on their methodologies, he said it's impossible to say precisely why. Lyons offered a few possible explanations. He said voter polls like these often weed out respondents pollsters reasonably believe are unlikely to vote. They ask if respondents are registered to vote, if they lean towards one candidate but overall remained undecided, or if they have voted in recent elections. In 2016, polls were overwhelmingly in favor of Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump, but also largely failed to account for which respondents were likely to actually vote. Many who polled in favor of Clinton never voted. Random chance can also play a part in the poll's disparity. Pollsters could sample 500 voters one day, generally favoring one candidate. Then the next day, the voters might generally favor the other candidate. Lyons said, barring more information on how many people were polled, over how wide an area, and over how broad a period of time, assigning error bars and confidence levels in the polls is impossible. The 2026 Idaho legislature passed a new law requiring public school kids to observe a 60-second moment of silence at the beginning of every school day. By law, school faculty cannot dictate how children use those 60 seconds, so they can use it for silent meditation, prayer, or otherwise, as long as whatever students choose to do is silent or non-disruptive. According to the Troy School District Superintendent Claire Vogt, since school started Wednesday of last week, there have been no issues implementing the moment of silence in the schools in her district. Vogt said, I have no evidence to show what they're thinking about at the time, but they are quiet and respectful. Deep breathing prayer, it's up to them. Today is the first day of school in the Moscow and Lewiston school districts, so neither had been seeing the law fully implemented. Moscow School District Superintendent Sean Teagues said he has confidence in the staff's ability to carry out the new law. Teagues told the Lewiston Tribune, I think we've got really good teachers that have really good classroom management skills and can work with individuals on behavior. Is it going to be perfect? No. Do we have kids that make bad choices all the time? Well, we'll deal with them on an individual basis as we go. Teagues said he's optimistic the silence will be a valuable minute taken away from cell phones, distractions, noise, and politics. The Lewiston School District got a preview of the policy during summer school. The law took effect July 1st. Lewiston School District Superintendent Tim Sperber said, I think summer school was a good testing ground for it, and as anything that's new, I'm sure we'll have some hiccups, but we have a very professional staff, and I know that they'll take care of business. Republican Representative Bruce Skog of Nampa sponsored the bill, which the House passed 51-17 and the Senate passed 18-15, according to Superintendent's Vogt of Troy and Teagues of Moscow. There has been no feedback from parents and community members about the law so far. Superintendent Sperber in Lewiston said feedback on social media has been mixed. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Moscow Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center, a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing commerce and community together through business support, local events, and economic development initiatives. 114 South Main Street in downtown Moscow, 208-882-1800, and moscowchamber.com. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Idaho Chapter and Palouse Group of the Sierra Club, which are building a grassroots movement for climate and ecological justice in Idaho. Sierra Club empowers community members of all ages to advocate for clean energy, abundant wildlife, and outdoor access. sierraclub.org/Idaho/Palouse-group.
Don't touch that dial.
You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
listen anytime you listen. Everybody's on a mission and there ain't nothing missing. When you listen to the radio. Listen to the radio.
You got it right.
Community radio.
Listen to give a little listen to the radio.
Radio Free Moscow.
Fight Back Radio.
It's 90.3 on your radio dial.
Fight Back.
Thanks for tuning in and thanks for your support. So keep on listening and listening and listening.
Fight back.
We're still here.
Radio.
Fight,
fight, fight,
fight,
fight, fight, fight,
fight.
This is Hell, and I'm the Bitter, Blind, Broke, Gaptooth radio show host Chuck Mertz, who tells you that right here on KRFP, Radio Free Moscow, 90.3 FM, and KRFP.org at 11 a.m. each and every Sunday morning. This is Hell has been manufacturing dissent since 1996, bringing listeners like you the news that scares the news as an alternative to alternative radio, independent from independent media, and KRFP is one of only a few outlets around the world that supports our work. In today's political climate, that support is more important than ever to fight against the damage done by corporate-controlled right-wing media that has taken over the public's airwaves. In the past year, This Is Hell has talked about issues you will not hear on corporate or even public radio, like neoliberalism, feminism, sexism, racism, conservatism, cannibalism, and the meaning of infinity. If that's the kind of programming you want to hear, see you on Sunday morning.
Healthcare and Social Security cuts took center stage in Missoula, Montana, with a former 70s band member and variety show host leading the charge. People rallied outside the Community Medical Center in Missoula on Friday, which plans to shift in-person physician visits at its pediatric intensive care unit to telehealth care in October. John Bowser Bauman serves as president of the Social Security Works PAC. He says cost-cutting moves reflect a larger pattern in federal government that hurts rural and urban hospitals in Montana.
The cutbacks are going to get worse because, in fact, most of the danger that comes from the Medicaid cuts kicks in 2027, very purposefully after the 2026 midterms.
Montana has already rolled out new Medicaid work requirements as part of the Republicans' H.R. 1 budget bill passed in 2025. All states are required to implement the new rules by January 1st, 2027. Montana has also withheld a 3% payment increase for Medicaid health care providers due to a budget shortfall. That increase was supposed to take effect on July 1st. Before his advocacy work, Bauman was a member of the band Sha Na Na and starred in the group's hit TV show in the 1970s. The band also starred in the 1978 movie Grease. He says he's a big fan of 1950s and 1960s music, but says he wouldn't want to return to an era without Medicare or Medicaid, when 35% of seniors were below the poverty line. He adds that before Social Security started in 1935, as many as 50% of seniors were living below the poverty line. He hopes Montanans will vote for candidates who want to protect and expand these programs.
The simple fact is that Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are the most successful domestic programs in the entire history of the United States of America, and we need to keep them that way.
Sam Forstag, Democratic candidate for Montana's 1st Congressional District, also attended the rally. He's facing Republican Aaron Flint, Independent Kimberly Persecco, and Libertarian Nick Sheedy in November's general election. I'm Laura Hatch, Big Sky Connection.
As Oregonians come to the aid of their neighbors who have been forced to evacuate their homes due to wildfires, experts are reminding people to beware of disaster-related scams. In one survey from 2024, the Census Bureau found over three quarters of disaster survivors experienced a possible scam within a month of the event. Paul Griffo with AARP Oregon's Fraud Prevention Campaign says the most important thing to avoid any scams is to do some research before giving away money or personal information.
The key is the same for these type of scams as all scams, and that is we ask people to pause and actively think about the actions they're taking, and in reflecting on that, They're protecting themselves.
Griffo adds imposter scams are the most commonly reported, data backed by the Federal Trade Commission. These could be fake contractors peddling home repairs or false representatives from known insurance companies. Griffo advises people independently verify legitimacy through the Better Business Bureau or by contacting the company directly. Griffo says it's also important to be on the lookout for phony charities. He says crowdfunding sites like GoFundMe are helpful tools, but people need to double check the sites are real. He says people can verify charities at sites like charitynavigator.org. Griffo adds anyone can be a victim of fraud and calls on people to have compassion for themselves and each other.
The long-term impact is both emotional as well as financial. So let's work together as a community and support each other.
Help is available to anyone who's concerned about scams, adds Griffo, through AARP's Fraud Watch Network. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, a red flag warning is in effect for the Palouse Hells Canyon Fire Zone 102 until 7 p.m. tonight. Otherwise, the Moscow Pullman weather, increasing clouds tonight, low 56, widespread haze between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. Cloudy through mid-morning tomorrow, then gradual clearing, high 81, widespread haze before 7 a.m. Light northwest winds becoming west 5 to 10 in the morning, gusts up to 20. Mostly clear Thursday night, low 47, west winds 5 to 10 becoming light in the evening, gusts up to 20. And sunny, high 77 on Friday. Current temperature is 84 degrees. And the real-time air monitor shows that the air quality in Moscow and all of north-central Idaho and up to Coeur d'Alene is moderate at this hour. Real-time air monitoring shows the air quality in Pullman as well as Clarkston and Spokane, Washington is moderate at this hour. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP.org website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis, David Katz, assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
Extinction Rebellion Palouse proudly supports KRFP. XR Palouse is organizing to have our governments and institutions declare a climate emergency, achieve climate justice and biodiversity, and leverage the power of arts and humanities to foster social change. KRFP is dedicated to progressive values, including justice and multiculturalism.